Hello, this is Dee Muzan with Faith, Love, and Truth again, and we're going to begin episode 5. So, we're going to begin by reviewing some of the main important parts of episode 1 and episode 2. And with episode 1, as we said before, before we attempt to experience salvation, we need to adhere to the first principle of first listening and hearing the word of God and the gospel, good news of salvation, from a qualified God, Jesus ordained teacher and preacher. As we hear, receive, and believe the word within our hearts, we then begin to acquire trust and faith in the Lord and his word. Then by our faith in the word, we can then state with our mouths what we have believed within our hearts, which equals salvation by our faith in the Lord and the word of God. And then that is usually followed by baptism, which gives an outward demonstration of what we believe in our hearts, that we have died to our old man of sin and that we have been risen or resurrected anew in the Lord. And it also symbolizes the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have died with him and nailed sin, the law, whatever, to the cross, and we have arisen like we will be resurrected in the future with him into life anew. So Romans 10 and 17. So then faith cometh by hearing. Yeah, this is the Lord's word that justifies what we previously said. So then faith comes by hearing, and by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's the King James Version. So faith comes by hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ the Messiah himself. That's the Amplified. Romans 10 and 14 to 15 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And the King James Amplified says, but how are people to call upon him who they have not believed, in whom they have no faith, on whom they have no reliance? And how are they to believe in him, adhere to, trust, and rely upon him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? And how can men be expected to preach unless they be sent? So again, we're talking about people who are sent of God, qualified preachers and teachers and ministers to minister the word truthfully to his people, rightly dividing the word of truth. And also, this gives a perfect example, because in the past, people have been approached. This might be the first time you go to church, or maybe you went to some other church and you've never gone to a church where a full gospel church, and come down for an altar call, or come tarry for the Holy Ghost, or come do this, come do that. And if you've never heard of Jesus or heard the gospel, had the gospel preached or taught to you, you don't know anything about Jesus, anything about what he did for us, you do not believe in him, and you cannot accept it by faith. You have to accept by faith what you have believed in, what you have heard and received in your heart and believed in. And so this is that, that is, those episodes are not following the order that was established by God. It's like usually when man gets a hold of something new, he automatically dismisses the previous teaching or the previous learning, and this is what we need to do now. No, we need to search the scriptures, and we need to follow God's precise order, because when his order is not being followed, that equals chaos and confusion and error. Also, we must read, study, and meditate in the word of God, the Bible, for ourselves, to hear what the Lord may be saying to us individually, and not only listening to others. When people are immediately expected to seek salvation without listening, hearing, receiving, and believing in the word of God or in the gospel of salvation or in the Lord Jesus Christ. They can either not experience any genuine salvation or changes. They can easily return to their old ways, and then they are considered by the church to be in a backslidden state. Now, real backsliding is willful and involves the willful decision to commit sin and does not involve someone making a mistake or an accident. So we have witnessed a lot of people being excommunicated by churches because they fell into error or they sinned and they hadn't been taught. They were babes in the Lord, and that's wrong. That's wrong. And we've witnessed people like being thrown out of the church and being excommunicated, all because they did not receive scriptural or biblical information. They received incorrect information, or they received erroneous doctrine concerning salvation. As a result, some become so devastated by their experiences that they never return to church or seek salvation ever again in their lives. And it is important to note that all of the false, erroneous doctrine, harm, and wrongdoing that is committed by leadership and others within churches, whether it's against the church as a whole or individual people, all wrong is condemned by the Lord God within the Holy Bible. God is not in agreement with or part of any unrighteousness, darkness, wickedness, or evil, and he reveals in his word that those who commit evil lead others astray and offend his people, the least one of his, will be punished unless they repent, no matter who they are or who or what they claim to be. Yet people seem to blame God for what others are doing, which is the devil's doing and his lies and deception of people. The Bible calls him the deceiver of the whole world. The devil is the false accuser of God and the brethren. He is the orchestrator of all the false accusation that occurs within the church. So the following are just a few things that the Bible has to say about false accusation. Accuse not a servant to his master, lest he curse thee and thou be found guilty. It's Proverbs 30:9. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall you do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shall you put the evil away from among you. Now that's an Old Testament scripture. We don't do that in New Testament, but we are to put the evil away from among us, because the Lord does not like or condone when we allow evil to go forth in the church, in his presence, in our homes, or whatever. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. That's 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15. Oh, the previous scripture is Deuteronomy 19:18-19. If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. That's Proverbs 29:12. Because there's lots of rulers that and pastors and people of churches that hearken to lies, and they like lies, and they attack the innocent because of lies that come from people that come from wicked people and people that they know lie. A wicked doer give heed to false lips, and a liar give ear to a naughty tongue. Proverbs 17:4. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. And that's Psalm 31:18. So that now in episode two, the gospel of salvation, the good news of salvation of man, the gospel of salvation is explained is the good news of salvation of man as made possible by God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The good news that man can be redeemed of his sins and sinful state and can be reconciled back into right spiritual standing with God. Man can be healed of his sins, his sinful state, and the conditions that sin causes, like sickness, disease, mental and physical illnesses. man is no longer destined for hell or destined to be a prisoner of the devil, Satan. The Lord Jesus Christ gives true believers power and authority over demonic spirits. That's all evil spirits and devils. The fall of man and the effects of the influence of evil. Man was created as a perfect spiritual being who is spiritually connected with God and who is considered a spiritual son of God. When man sinned, he immediately experienced spiritual death. His spiritual connection with God was severed. So in addressing some additional background issues surrounding man's need for salvation, we should keep in mind that, as stated, man was created perfect, yet he was created with a free will. He had no knowledge of good or evil or any information regarding anything except for the information that he received directly from God. However, he was forbidden to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree was not the tree of good and evil, it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So when man disobeyed God and ate of the tree, he immediately gained access to this knowledge, while he immediately became separated and cut off from God, thus causing him to become spiritually dead. The serpent, the devil, lied to Adam and Eve. He gaslighted them, causing them to believe a false reality and fabricated his story to them to cause them to fall and enter into sin against God through his same sins. The Lord Jesus tells us that the devil is a liar, the father of lies, and a murderer. John 8:44. God created mankind to inhabit and to be his family, but he wanted a family that possesses the free will to choose him, to choose to be with him, to choose to love and serve him, and to choose to reverence him. That's why man is most like the Lord. Man is most like the Lord God and not created like the angels, because the angels have not been given a free will and are created for a specific purpose without deviation. Now, evidently Satan had a free will, and that shows us the lesson of someone who possesses the power that angels possess that is not submitted to the Lord God. And so Satan, with his free will, and it would appear the knowledge of good and evil, gave himself over to all evil. So he has become everything that is evil and not like God, everything that represents the absence of God. So right here, we would like to address the archangel. We would like to address the archangel Gabriel and Muhammad. Man versus angels and the difference. So this is why we need to know God's word in the scriptures of the Holy Bible for ourselves. The story of Islam is that Muhammad went into a cave, and he was silent in the cave, and he was visited by the archangel Gabriel, who gave him this new religion of Islam. Gabriel, the actual Gabriel, sits in the presence of God. According to the scriptures, according to the Bible, he sits in the presence of God. He brings the words of God to his people, and he also interprets the word to people at the command of God / Jesus. And we can see that in Daniel verses chapter 8 and 16, chapter 9 and 22, Luke 1 and 19, and verses 26 to 32. Gabriel never brought or brings religion or new religion to man. The only two people who received the word of God as the law and the gospel were Moses and Jesus Christ. Those were the only two people who were in the presence of God for 40 days, 40 nights, and communed with God the Father during that time, or with Jesus, with God during that time with instructions. Gabriel is always bringing the word of God to his people and interpreting the word. He has never brought any religion to man. Therefore, God's archangel Gabriel most certainly did not visit with Muhammad in a cave and give him the false religion of Islam, which mimics John the Baptist's father Zechariah's experience when he dwelt in a cave and could not speak until John was born. And the reason why he could not speak was because he did not believe Gabriel when he gave him the word of the Lord and told him that he would have a son. So, and Islam is mostly based upon Judaism and the law of rules, commandments, traditions, and rituals, which Jesus fulfilled and abolished, nailing it to the cross. Colossians 2 and 14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So that proves to us, that's why we must know the word of God for ourselves, because it teaches us that Gabriel could not possibly have done this, because that is not what he was created to do. That is not what he ever does. In several instances, Paul also warns against being again entangled in the law and the yoke of bondage. And some other scriptures that we can read that confirm this is Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 11 to 20, 2 Corinthians 3 and 13 to 18, 2 Timothy 1 and 8 to 10. So therefore, it would seem as though the sin and fall of man, it was inevitable. So to proceed, after all of this, it would seem as though the sin and fall of man was inevitable. For man to know what it was to experience being joined to God, then being completely separated from God, and then witnessing the complete depravity and evil of man without being connected to God. That's the lesson, one of the lessons that we learn from the Old Testament and having God's presence in his life. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's Genesis 6 and 5. The Old Testament shows us the continued moral dissension of man without being spiritually connected to God. The many men and women that God sent to minister to man in hopes to turn man back to the Lord, the resentment, envy, hatred, rejection, and murder inflicted upon the Lord's true messengers and prophets of God, and the continued wickedness, depravity, error, and sin of man until God finally left man unto himself without sending anyone to speak to help or attempt to turn man away from his wickedness. This is the time frame between the Bible books of Malachi and Matthew. So the problem here is that man possessed an evil because of Satan, because of the devil, and man making a choice, being faced with temptation and making a choice opposite from what God had commanded. Man possessed an evil, hard heart that needed to be spiritually joined back to the Lord. And we can see a lot of this in Deuteronomy chapter 5, 6, 8, 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and 16, Ezekiel 36 and 18, Psalm 51, and 1 Peter chapter 1. So with that said, it shows that man needed a redeemer. So unless God decided to destroy all mankind from the earth forever, man desperately needed a redeemer. As man envied, disrespected, mistreated, hated, and destroyed many of the human messengers that God sent to warn, teach, and lead the people, which continues even today, the Redeemer needed to be a special representative, a qualified spiritual representative of God, and a compassionate, sympathetic human representative of man. Thus, we needed Jesus Christ, who is the only begotten Son of God, to redeem us, who is God and who is man. So that ends our episode 5. God bless you. We hope that you are blessed and receive some benefit from our podcast. And we will talk to you when we come back with episode 6. Be blessed. Bye-bye.